Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Welcome to episode 23 of the official Geek Speak podcast. I'm your host, Sean Williams. That's my name. And joined as always is my co-host, Josh Taco Bell Chicken Quesadilla Man with Chips and Cheese, Rudy Rudolph. This is the podcast where we watch movies, make movies, play games, and more. What else can you ask for? What's poppin', Josh?
I do like my chicken quesadilla with nachos.
You like those chips and cheese?
Indeed I do.
Yeah.
They crunch.
Crunch, crunch, mother buckets. Every episode, we will go through a different Disney Channel original movie, or DCOM for short, and we will see how in a short period of time, from the 99-98 time period of years until now, the biggest media company on Earth, Disney, caters towards solely children with a pretty large sample size, and we'll see quality changes, etc. This week, we watched Rip Girls. It's bad.
Is probably my least favorite, and that is solely because it is so goddamn boring.
So, I told Josh this ahead of time, but I broke the rule today for this movie. The rule of we have to watch the full thing. And he watched it a few weeks ago. So, this is going to be funny. What I'm talking about here is I'm going to talk about what I think of the plot happened. I don't know the end of the movie yet. I've watched half of it. I'm going to watch the rest of it before we do next recording. I'm going to watch the rest of it before next recording, and I'll talk about my final thoughts on it then, but, like, I couldn't get through it in one sitting today.
It is just, it is so boring. Like, we are in this era of DCOM dramas, and I don't know why. Like, you go from, like, you know, everyone that we've been watching so far, they were very, just, like, they were just throwing stuff at the wall, just seeing what stuck. But now, for some reason, they're trying to be consistent, and they're like, no, we're going to do dramas now. And the only successful one has been Color of Friendship. I think that's because they actually tried with that one.
Why are they all sporty?
I don't know. It's weird.
This is our second surfing one.
It is. And Johnny Tsunami was far more interesting. And I had less surfing in it.
So I have notes so far, Josh. Will you hear what my notes are so far?
Do I have notes? I think I do.
I hope you do. You've seen the whole movie, Josh. You should have notes.
I do.
So my first thing. Okay, so some context. Her mom is dead. Hold on, let's back up. It's not a good start to this.
Mom was dead.
Yeah, we have a young girl whose name I have no idea. Do you know her name?
None, slightest.
Cool. We have a girl who is from a big city and wants to surf, because her people she sees are surfing and thinks that looks fun, and then she finds a photo album when they're there, and is like, oh, wow, my mom used to surf? That's wild. And then she surfs, and she gets hurt slightly, the big tumble. I'm guessing, can I guess right? Does her mom die from surfing?
Genuinely, I cannot tell you if she did or if she did not. I'm going with just probably, mystery death.
I think her mom died from surfing because her dad's like, don't surf, it's too dangerous. Don't do it. Like, you might die like your mom died. That's the vibe I get. Oh yeah, her dad's kind of like, you can't have fun. I'm a father. Right?
She's like with Johnny Tsunami's, it felt more realistic, like, in terms of, like, the dad not wanting his son to, you know, do stuff.
So, my first note was, don't pull a The Amazing Spider-Man, Peter Parker, taking pics of strangers in the beginning. A little creepy, a little weird. I also wrote, Hawaii again! Because, like Johnny Tsunami, we're back in Hawaii!
First note, as always, is the terrible cropping is back. Who makes these decisions? I am so tired of these movies that were filmed in 4:3 being stretched into 16:9 because it cuts off so much and it annoys the hell out of me. And it's not even consistent. Some movies do it and others don't. Why? I don't know. It makes me lose my mind, though.
There's a picture we're looking through out photo albums, though. And main girl sees what she thinks is her mom, because she doesn't know what her mom looks like, which is also not making any sense to me.
I feel like she had to have seen a picture somewhere in her life.
Right, and she says, is that her? Did she surf? Kind of like that. I'm like, first off, do you know anything about your mom at all? Your dad's ex-wife at all? Well, sorry, they were widowed, right? Not an ex-wife?
Yeah. Okay. I couldn't tell you. Cool. I think she's dead. We're going with death.
I know she's dead. I'm wondering about if it was a divorce or if it was a widow. I think it was widow from what I saw it halfway through the movie today. Again, I know it was mentioned. I don't recall in the mentioning what happened.
There's a lot of things that were mentioned that we do not remember.
Here's an odd thing. A magical cat guided her to a shed with a surfboard in it.
I wrote a note about this, because this is also, like, part two of a note. First note is, if this turns into a home invasion thriller, I'm so down for that, because, like, they make the house look really creepy and all that. And then part two of this note is, first we have people spying on her, a cabinet opening with a creepy book by itself. Now Black Cat is leading her to a desolated shed with an owl perched in there. Please let this be a secret A24 horror film.
I think it was meant to be, like, her mom is calling to her kind of thing. But it was very weird.
It definitely came off more as horror vibes.
And there's a line where she makes a friend, a Hawaiian girl in the town, who's like, come surf, join the dark side. That's not how she actually acts, but it's basically, it's like her friends are pulling in her in one direction. Her dad's saying no. That's the whole plot. That is the plot of the movie. Right, Josh?
Yes.
Okay. So, I'm also like, I'm asking you because I haven't seen the end, so I don't know how much it changes. But also, I texted Josh halfway through and said, I'm like 30 minutes in, nothing's happened yet. And he said, just wait, nothing continues to happen.
I'm not wrong!
And so she's showing she's a good photographer, I guess. So she takes pictures of them surfing.
Her camera is so weird. It looks like it's a standard photography camera mixed with a camcorder. It looks so weird.
It does, but she is talking to her friend, showing her pictures. Her friend says, I'm not so good at computers. When all the main girl did was click next on a slideshow.
That's look, it's hard, man.
She clicked her next. I was like, did you do this? Yeah, I did this. Wow, I'm not so good at computers. She clicked the next slide. It was a slideshow. Are you saying you can't make a slideshow? You're like 13.
Apparently. I love this note that I wrote that I don't remember when I wrote it. I said, why does her dad look like a discount Eric Bana if he didn't age like fine wine?
What?
Okay. You see it now?
Yeah. Her dad bothered me so much in this movie.
I don't get it.
The looks that he gave when it came down to surfing, it was like, oh, surfing? No. It was very weird. Why is she surfing in jorts? Why was she wearing nothing but, like, she was wearing full clothing, like a watch, shoes, shorts, t-shirt. Like, you should maybe like wear swim attire? The beach?
I don't know. I don't remember when this happened, but I think it was like when the guy with the broken arm that she likes, I guess goes in to save her. I said, no, surfer dude, your cast will get wet. And then I think this is when she's tumbling for like a minute. I said, did she just become incapable of moving?
Yeah, so there's a part where she does surf and crash. She surfs the first time ever. She does pretty well. She gets called a natural, which is not. She crashed. But the...
She's dying.
She does get called a natural by her friend's mom. Tells the main girl's dad, oh, but she's natural out there. But she did get knocked down and woke up in someone else's house. So therefore, saying to her dad, it wasn't serious, might be wrong. But anyway, she tumbled under the water for like a whole minute of runtime. It was very funny.
I love that after this... I guess when the girl goes home, dad's like, I've tried to protect her. She doesn't know who she is. She's like, what do you mean? Is this a superhero origin story?
I also legitimately thought while she was surfing, there was a shark coming. I thought
so. God, I want something to happen. That would have at least made it interesting.
There's a line in this that she says to her dad, which is almost the same one that happened in Halloween Town. She says, you're treating me like a baby. I'm 13. And I'm like, it's Halloween like, Town again?
Yeah, it's just like, did we accidentally reuse a page of script from Halloween Town?
But also, like we said before, I'll say it again, 13 is not an adult. 13, you are a child. You might say teen in the name, but you are a child.
Did you get to a part when she does something with Photoshop? Because I wrote a note that this is not how Photoshop works.
I don't actually remember. I watched it today.
It has something to do with her, like, editing a picture of her mom. I don't remember what it was. Ah, now it's going to drive me insane. I'm not going to go back and look at it.
The jury's still out. I don't know what I saw today. I watched half a movie, man. I can't tell you what happened. I did, however, watch Episode of the Boys instead. So.
I think at some point I stopped writing notes. No, there's like a big period where I stopped and then I continued writing.
How does it end? Was I right?
What was your guess?
Well, first off,
I don't think you told me.
Does she surf and she accepted surfing as her dad move on? It's like, that's okay now.
I think that's an aspect of it, but it's not the final thing.
What happens at the end? Or should I just wait?
I say wait. No matter what I say, it's going to be disappointing.
Does it get slightly epic at all at the end?
No, not in the slightest. If anything, it gets worse.
Is there a contest like every other sports version of these movies?
No.
What? They broke their own trope?
It gets so boring. It's already boring. It just continues to stay boring.
Does her mom show up?
No, not in the slightest.
Not even like a ghost form?
God, I wish.
Does anything at all happen that's fun to watch?
There was an incredibly forced fight between main girl and her friend about something, and like it was one of the most like cliched like third act breakup fights I've ever seen. I'm just like, can we just skip past this, fast forward to when you're friends again? Like, come on,
if this is your first time ever listening to the podcast, don't worry, it's not the whole hour, it's not just this.
I mean, it can be. I can go on a tangent of this movie that I hate that I remember nothing of, but I can do it.
Quick context, we do this as a first topic just to ease us into some funny discussion about movies, and then often these movies often are more fun than this is. I will say right now, if you listen to other episodes, Can of Worms, You Lucky Dog, even Brink is more fun than this. We have if we have a lot to say, we had a good time, at least a good time watching it. This time, we don't even have a lot to say, so.
No. I will say, if you're a fan of Rip Girls, why? I have questions.
Yeah, actually, please email us at podgeekspeak@gmail.com or tweet at us at #geekspeakpod. I want to know, what is your favorite DCOM and why? We've watched and 17 so far.
We have. It doesn't feel like it, but apparently we have.
I'm keeping track for us.
Thank you.
I'm giving this movie a yay solely because there's a magical cat that sticks out of nets out of nowhere and all of a sudden a surfboard appears.
I give it nay because I hate it.
Oh, I hate it too. Don't hold on. Yay or nay? Yays and nays are arbitrary. I'm saying right now, I'm giving this a yay solely for the fun cat. Moving on.
I forgot Alley Cat Strike was the last one we watched. I'm looking up through the list. I'm like, I remember like none of these. Up and Away, I forgot that happened.
Okay, I have a list. I can read out what we watched so far for viewers. Okay, so we have on my list right now, we have watched, in order, You Lucky Dog was first because we couldn't find it under wraps because Disney has hidden it. We have You Lucky Dog, then Brink, then Halloween Town, then Xenon, Girl of the 21st Century, then Can of Worms, The 13th Year, Halloween Town 2, Calabar's Revenge, Johnny Tsunami, Smart House, Genius, Don't Look Under the Bed, which has a wild ride in the middle, Horse Sense, Up and Away, The Color of Friendship, Alley Cats Strike, and Rip Girls. Why are there no Alley Cats in Alley Cats Strike, Josh? I'm still mad about that.
Look, it's a whole thing. But the next film I'm looking at is Miracle in Lane 2, and that's the DCOM with Frankie Muniz.
Okay. Rip Girls is about surfing, and that's it, right, Josh?
Nothing else but the girls that surf.
Okay, so Olivia Newton-John passed away.
This is indeed
so
sad.
So we do a news topic about, usually, a week of news. But
it's sometimes
vastly more. This is still about a week and a half of news, what we're doing here now. About 10 or something days. We're going from San Diego Comic-Con until now. Because we recorded an episode all about San Diego Comic-Con, as well as all the stuff beforehand with the previous recording until then, news-wise. Then we had major audio issues for the span of 2 weeks straight of trying to get things working. So Josh, the first main news, like I said before, the first main news is The first main news is Olivia Newton-John passed away. Have you seen her in anything at all?
I just checked No, I have not. Obviously, I know she was in Grease, and I've seen a production of Grease. Obviously not with her, though.
It's very tragic. She was also in Glee.
I've heard that. I think I saw a clip of it.
Who was she in Glee? Hold on.
I think she was herself.
Okay, yep. Yep. I've seen four and a half seasons of Glee so far. So,
take that. Is there five or is there six?
There are six seasons total. So I'm on season five with my girlfriend. Yes, I have a woman in my life. She's amazing. But she was in Grease. She is what she's mostly known as. Sandy. And it's a very, very tragic thing. She's also in movies like Sharknado 5.
Yeah.
She's in Beverly Hills Chihuahua 2. She's in Two of a Kind. She's in Xanadu. She's in A Few Best Men. A Mom for Christmas. She's in Face Off. I haven't seen Face Off.
I've seen clips of it. It's a wild ride.
She's in a lot of amazing works, and she's in a lot of... She's really put a stamp on cinema herself over the years, and she has passed away now on August 8th, 2022. It is very sad, and she will be missed.
Yes, indeed.
But on to some overall different kinds of news. So, San Diego Comic-Con, like, we got a really fun trailer for the Dungeons & Dragons movie.
Very excited for that.
Looks so much fun. We get potentially Chris Pine as a bard. Maybe he's the DM himself. It looks like a good time, right?
Indeed.
We also get the Multiverse Saga is what phases 4, 5, and 6 are of the MCU.
Which is just like, thank you for finally revealing this information to us.
I feel like it was kind of clear from the beginning, at least a little bit, you know?
Well, I mean, we just didn't know exactly where it was leading towards, though. But now we know. They're leading to Secret Wars.
Yeah, we're getting Secret Wars. The end of Phase 6 will be, we're getting Avengers Quantum Kang Boy. Nope. Kang Dynasty.
That's what his name should be, Quantum Kang Boy.
We're getting Kang Dynasty followed by, in the same year, Avengers Secret Wars. That'll be really fun. We're getting Fantastic Four. We're getting Ironheart. We're getting a lot of great shows. We just got I Am Groot, the 5 short films.
I still need to watch that.
They're cute. They're very silly. They're not, like, amazing, but they're fun, you know?
Yeah.
It's, like, if you want to watch it, it's, like, half an hour of your life. So, there you go.
But that's 30 minutes, man. Like, TikTok.
That's nap.
That is nap.
Multiverse Saga is pretty cool. We got a lot of great things there, including some big announcements, like we said about Secret Wars, but Fantastic Four is going to be the first thing in Phase 6, the first movie in Phase 6. We're getting the Blade movie in 2023, we're getting the Marvels, we're getting Guardians 3. We got the first trailer for Black Panther Wakanda Forever, which comes out in November. And this is a tearjerker kind of trailer. We're not going to touch on the trailer very much because we recorded this trailer discussion twice now.
All I'll say is that I've watched it so many times. It's just one of those trailers similar to like Logan. It's just so good on its own, even without like, you know, everything that's happened. It's so good. I want to keep watching it.
I have a theory about it because the Queen of Wakanda mentions how she's lost her whole family and Shuri's still there in the trailer. That Shuri might die in this movie as well.
Or she'll think that she's dead.
Sure.
Either way, it's still funny to watch it and just think it's just like, you know, Shuri's probably like, you know, standing in the other room. She could probably hear you.
And wherever you stand on the idea of recasting T'Challa, which we've talked about, again, the recording that will not come out of this thing anymore. We discussed the pros and cons of the recast idea and how my original stance was that I think it should have been recast because I think this could have been a part similar to Spider-Man or Batman or a bunch of actors could have put their stamp on this role and made their own. It's also going to be incredibly difficult shoes to fill, like how whoever succeeded Heath Ledger's Joker after passing was going to start with a disadvantage no matter what. It would be similar to the recast of T'Challa here. Right, Josh?
Yeah, it's a very complex issue, like, with lots of ups and downs, lots of pros and cons, that, like, there is no right answer with how to move forward with this.
And so, I think that what they did with honoring Chadwick was very good, very noble, and very kind. Would you agree with that?
I think, for me personally, I think it was the way to have gone with it.
A lot has happened in this new phases, these new multiversal stuff. We're getting the Thunderbolts movie. Please stop. I don't want more Nazis. No more Zemo. Josh, I don't want Nazis.
I know. It'll be okay. It'll be okay. It's okay.
Zemo's a Nazi.
I know.
Can
it's okay.
Can we get him away from here?
Remember, they punched the Nazis.
Not always.
That is true. Sanju Zemo, get away.
Zemo needs more punching. But we got also the title of Captain America New World Order, Josh, which is the same title as the first Captain America and the Winter Soldier show episode title. So that's fun.
That's cool. I like.
We got a lot of stuff happening. We have Deadpool 3 happening at some point still.
I just love that Marvel has all this stuff, just like announcement after announcement after announcement. DC announces two things that they have already announced.
We got the Black Adam, a new trailer, or the same trailer. We got a thing where we got an ego trip from Dwayne Johnson.
Yep.
And we also got the fun Shazam Family of Fun trailer. Family of Fun? Fury of the Gods trailer.
Honestly, Family of Fun is a fun title.
Shazam, Family of Fun. Shazamly of Fun.
Yes.
So,
but I'm very excited.
Yeah, I think the kids are too old now. Those should have been recast to me instead of but it's fine.
Look, they filmed it the first one in like late 2017. They didn't release it till mid of 2019. That was already an insane thing for them to have done.
Right, so they should recast every movie. Just let Billy Batson just keep looking different every time.
Like, I think that this also can lead into like other things that we'll either talk about or that we've already talked about. You can recast. Audiences will understand and be fine with this. They did it with Terrence Howard and Don Cheadle, and like, it's fine. Everyone understands. We know how movies work.
We also did it with Edward Norton and Mark Ruffalo. They've done it with the Thor movies twice.
Yeah, like, it's okay. If you need to recast, we understand.
Keep Levi, 'cause he's fun.
Please.
Okay. I guess that's the biggest things from San Diego Comic-Con, right?
Definitely biggest things from DC.
Oh, Giancarlo Esposito, who you might know from the show Revolution, or Breaking Bad, or The Boys, or what have you. He's an amazing actor. He's been in a ton of things. Has said he met with Marvel Studios.
I love that Marvel at this point has gotten so big. There's so many things going on that Feige just can't wrangle people like he used to.
Well, also, there's no point in ringing. A lot of people say they had a meeting with something. That doesn't mean anything.
Well, I mean, still, but it's just like that gets fans talking and everything.
Which is better news than not having it, to be fair.
That's true.
He said outwardly that he would like to play for Professor X, which I will say, it would be perfect. I don't want him to play Magneto solely because I think that should be a Jewish Romani person. That's, I guess, a good thing to do. Or at least a actually Jewish actor.
I would love to see him as Professor X. I love him as a villain. He's fucking fantastic as a villain. He has been playing a villain a lot, though, lately. So, like, I would love to see him in a villain role. In a hero role, like Professor X.
I mean, Professor X, also, they can treat him as not a hero, either. He's very much a gray area person. He's not the best person in the world. If you read more comic books, especially later issues, he is... oof.
John, we've established this. I don't read the comics. That's why you do the whole segment where he yelled to me about the comics.
Yeah. Ugh. I mean, you also see the movies. He traps Jean Grey's mind repeatedly.
He doesn't... Look, again, he's smart, but he's also a fucking moron. There's a lot of angles they can go with it. I'm down to see whatever.
Right. Yeah. He also, before one of the rumors is he might end up playing Doctor Doom. I'm also fine with that. But I prefer a Romani actor doing that as well, since that character is also Romani. And Romani actors are never having any spotlight at all because they've been prejudiced against for like hundreds of years, and that is a very explicitly Romani person who then later created their own country of Latveria. That's a whole other thing, but I think Giancarlo would be great in so many roles, literally anything. Give him a place in the MCU. Please. Give him a place
that's
in any movie or show. Like, he doesn't have to be people are now treating Marvel or the MCU like that's the golden ticket. Like, every other project is kind of just a test run for Marvel, which is not how media should be, obviously. I think it'd be fun to watch him play more characters, that's all.
Yes, I want him in everything.
He's fantastic. Eternals 2 news. Minor spoiler for Eternals 1. Skip ahead, we have timestamps down below if you do not want any spoilers for Eternals at all. Alright. Okay, so Eternals 2... I'm sorry. Eternals 1, we have... Pip the Troll, played by Eternals. Nope. Pip the Troll, played by Patton Oswalt. And Arrow / Star Fox, played by Harry Styles. They come in, he's like, "I'm Harry Styles, y'all." That's what he says, very clearly.
Yes. He also did the same thing in Dunkirk.
"What up, I'm Harry Styles, y'all." Y'all. Is that clearly what he would say? Patton Oswalt comes in as a really bad CG-looking troll, which is not the fault of the movie, because we already know what happens in visual effects artists in Marvel. It's a whole different mess. And said that Eternals 2 has already been confirmed, with Chloe Zhao coming back to direct. First off, No, it has not already been confirmed or announced, but thank you for announcing that.
Thank you announcing the confirmation that was not confirmed, but now you have confirmed the confirmation.
But also, that's very clearly a purposeful choice. Every leak that Marvel's ever done, besides the Ruffalo thing, pretty much, has been a purposeful leak. Also, because it wasn't actually a live, complete live broadcast. Like, it's usually about a minute or two delay on those kind of broadcasts live. That could have been edited out, no problem. So, like, that was a purposeful, let's leave it in kind of thing with damage control. So, it's not like it's a leak, it's just a little funny. But overall, he's great in BoJack Horseman. And in the movie, not Imitation Game, nope.
That would be a very different movie if he was in that.
He's in, hold on, The Secret Life of Walter Mitty, not the same thing at all.
Now, I want a re-edit of The Imitation Game with Patton Oswalt as Benedict Cumberbatch's character.
But he announced Eternals 2, Josh. Thoughts on Chloe Zhao coming back?
Look, I am, you know, one of the apparently few people that like Eternals, like, that genuinely love it, think it's great and everything, that it's just, like, it's so, it's fantastic. And Chloe Zhao coming back, I'm just like, yes, give me more. Give me more real sunsets, please.
It has issues, but I think it's a fun time. So
The
movie to me was never the director, and I do want more vibrant costumes, but like other than that, direction wise, I'm fine with how it was. I love Druig and Makari so much.
The characters are all fantastic.
But oh, so everything, yay on Giancarlo.
Of course.
Yay overall on SDCC.
Sure, why not?
Yay on Eternals 2 stuff.
Of course.
We have After the Last Airbender news, Josh.
Crazy! The airbending boy is back!
Maybe. We'll find out. But, Hakoda from the Avatar cartoon was cast for a live-action show. And of course, immediately, he got complaints with, he's too white-looking, despite being a fully indigenous man.
Look, the internet is, you know, there. That's just all I gotta say.
The actor is named Joel Montgrand. He was cast as Hakoda, which is Sokka and Katara's dad, who is in the Avatar TV show. He is cast in the live-action version for Netflix. He's actually worked with both the woman who plays playing Kaya, who is his Hakoda's wife in the show. He's already worked with her. He's also already played the actress who played Katara's father in something already. So, that's pretty cool.
Fun.
He was in the movie or show Beans in 2020, where that's where he played the Rainbow Dickerson, who was Kaya's husband, and that's the same movie. So he played the husband of the woman playing Kaya and the father of the woman playing Katara in the same movie already. That's awesome. So I'm down with his casting. He already has. Have you seen the picture of him yet, by chance?
Maybe.
I'll send it to you right now. Okay.
Okay.
He looks like dead on. He even has the long hair and the beard already.
Yep, I'm down for it.
So, cool. Moving on. Yay.
Indeed.
It's Morbin time, Josh. I'm kidding. No Morbius news today.
Damn it.
Well, you have Leto news. We'll get to it in a second.
I reiterate my damn it statement.
It's Leto time, Josh. It's
damn it.
So, Jared Leto joins the cast of the Haunted Mansion movie starring Black Widow herself, Scarlet Witch. Nope. Josh!
Yes, I will happily see that.
Starring Scarlett, Jared Leto joins the cast of Haunted Mansion movie starring Scarlett Johansson.
Why?
He's playing a ghost character.
If it is a minor role, like where he doesn't do much, fine. I don't want him in a leading role, though.
This article starts with calling all morbheads. I repeat, calling all morbheads.
Oh, no.
He'll be playing Alistair Crump / the Hatbox Ghost. So he would
play. Okay, that's just a play on the box ghost from Danny Phantom.
This came first.
I don't care. I don't know the ride.
I've written it finally.
Good for you. Did I write it?
No, nay, I didn't write it. Nay, 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 nay.
I don't want him in things anymore. I'm looking at this cast right now. It's surprisingly stacked. Of course, you got Scarlett Johansson, but Jamie Lee Curtis, Rosario Dawson, Owen Wilson, Danny DeVito, Tiffany Haddish, Lakeith Stanfield are all in this also.
Okay, but still Nay on Leto?
Oh, of course. It's always a Nay on Leto, unless it's Morbin time.
It's Morbin time every day, bud. Aaron Taylor Johnson confirms Kraven will be the hunter that we all want.
The hunter we all know and love.
he says, I can't confirm any details or anything. And also, I guess that was probably a little taken out of context and then run. I mean, I think you know what I meant. What really stated was that he was a protector of the natural world. I said he's a conservationist, which is probably more accurate. And then I should have stopped there. Full stop. Should have gone on beyond that because, yeah, I think, you know, you really got to understand, yeah, he is a hunter, and from that world of hunting, what is he? What is this? He kind of rambles a bit. But he basically is saying that...
So he knows that he's caught, and he's just like, I gotta lie.
He says this is a character that was built ages ago, and it's a new time and era, but yeah, he is going to be the hunter that we all want to see. Yeah? Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Look, I don't have faith in Sony with these movies. When they're working with Marvel and Spider-Man, then it's fine, because they don't do a damn thing with those. But then with these movies, they do everything, and it's a train wreck.
No matter
and
what,
it's a glorious train wreck, but I hate it.
It's a nay until they change the name from Spunk.
I think they did. I think they took the P out of there.
That's worse. Sumk?
Look, it's all terrible. Every decision they make is the worst, but at least we have Let There Be Carnage, which is my favorite film ever.
For context, Spunk is the Sony Pictures universe of Marvel characters.
No, or... don't give them the context. It's funnier without the context.
Neon Craven News, because he seems like he's just backtracking a little bit. I understand things we take out of context, but when you think he's a conservationist, that still feels wrong to me.
It doesn't seem like... Like, the man hunts animals because he's just like, I'm big, strong Russian man. I want to be big, strong Russian man in the top of the food chain. Like, being a being that just doesn't seem right.
Here's the other news, Josh, that you're not gonna like at all either.
Oh, damn it.
Disney Plus is introducing their tiered pricing on December 8th alongside Hulu tiered pricing increase on October 10th in the United States. Disney Plus Basic with ads will be $7.99 a month. Disney Plus Premium with no ads will be $10.99 a month. Hulu Basic with ads will be $7.99 a month. And Hulu Premium with no ads will be $14.99 a month.
It's almost like financing these multi-million dollar projects that don't get released in theaters, that don't make a dime, is bad for business. It will cause prices to go up. Who the thunk? Oh, wait. Who the thunk?
Also, what's the point of not... This is cable.
It's cable, but cable still exists, so we can't revert back to cable because this still exists.
We need a new solution again. Just go back to TV is fine. Just have TV shows again, like normal TV
shows. But then like all these like R-rated shows that can never be on TV, like they won't have a place to go unless it's like HBO, and it's all a whole rights thing. There's too much money involved. It's stupid money. It's just stupid money. That's what it is.
Ow! I hit my hand hard.
But like, I've been shouting for years that this business plan can never sustain itself. I know they don't listen to me, but still, I've been right in this whole thing, and they don't listen to me. And yeah. Now look what's happening.
I just wrote a paper last semester and had to do a whole speech about how the theater model is the only really sustainable way to keep making movies this way because of how you can get butts in seats and pay like $10 a ticket, et cetera. If you have things on streaming, you won't make money. I did a whole speech about this, and I convinced the whole class about this.
Ray was literally Hulu's biggest premiere ever, not just in movies, but also shows.
Right.
And it didn't get a theatrical release. Word of mouth works. Even if you're scared if a movie is bad, put it in theaters. You'll still make some money.
Our last two pieces of news before we get into our main topic, which is absolutely wild, is Seth Rogen Turtles. Let's start with that.
I like the phrasing of, is Seth Rogen Turtle?
No, he's not a turtle. He just has turtles in the form of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Most stoners do.
Called TMNT Mutant Mayhem. Only in theaters, thank you. August 2023. It's a new movie he's making. It's an animated movie.
Do you think it'll be hand-drawn, or do you think it'll be CG?
CGI, probably, because it's just easier at this point.
Maybe they'll do something like along the lines of Spider-Verse or Mitchells vs. Machines.
Have you watched...
Because I know it's through Sony.
Have you watched the new Turtles movie?
I have it on my schedule of movies to watch, so I've been watching it within the week.
You might want to watch the show first, apparently, because it's better that way, but...
I have time.
I'm excited. It looks really fun. I like Seth Rogen's doing a good job with his producing so far. He's produced The Boys, right?
He's produced The Boys, Invincible. He's been producing a lot of stuff for a while now.
Also, he was in The Green Hornet as The Green Hornet. He likes heroes. He likes these kind of characters.
The Green Hornet, man. What a film.
And lastly, for the news, before we get into the DCWB mess-ups, is the Ghost of Tsushima movie The director wants to make a Japanese language film with a Japanese cast. So fully Japanese cast, fully in Japanese language, with subtitles. But that way, he wants to make this movie, and he believes that American audience will see the film in Japanese. He believes that Parasite worked. That's why he's using Parasite as kind of an example, saying how it won Best Picture, people really enjoyed the film.
There are so many, like, foreign language films that have been released in theaters that did very well. Not only that, this is based on an incredibly popular video game that people know and people love. You can play the game fully in Japanese if you want to. Like, this would work. Like, I understand American, like, you know, companies are just like, people don't like to read, and like, okay, I get you don't like to read. This is also going to be an R-rated movie for adults to see, so you already have that barrier. Why not just go all the way and make it Japanese? I love
that
he's...
Sony backed him.
That's great. I'm happy that Sony is backing him on that, because, like, and also, he's a very good director. The John Wick trilogy has still some of the best action I've ever seen on film, so I know all the fight scenes that would happen in this are going to be fucking insane. It's going to be so awesome. So, like, you have the credit. So, like, let him do it.
So you cool with all that?
I'm always cool with it.
Okay. We have done Morbin Time. We've done Turtles. We've done Tsushima. We've done Kraven, Hakoda, Eternals, Giancarlo, etc. Now it's time for the big news, which is that DC and Discovery made some ideas, made some announcements.
Some ideas, mostly, if not all, terrible.
Mostly DC-related. We have a few that are not fully DC-related, but it's mostly just like, DC is doomed, but maybe not? We'll find out next time on Dragon Ball Z. David Zaslav, is that how you pronounce his name?
Who the fuck knows?
He's a man in charge of a lot of stuff at Warner Brothers, right?
Since the Discovery merger, he has become in charge of, you know, not just Discovery, but Warner Brothers.
Including, let's start with a weird marketing shift before anything else. They made
Made a chart.
Yeah, I have a chart. I have the chart right here. I can give it to you if you want to.
Please, I need to see this bullshit.
So, they are announcing a new plan for Discovery Plus and HBO Max. They are changing their content line. They are changing how they're doing literally everything with WB. And HBO and DC. They've said they have three heavy hitters right now in terms of DC, and that's Wonder Woman franchise, Superman franchise, and the Batman franchise, which is confusing for many. Superman's not being used at all.
Superman hasn't been used in quite a while. Wonder Woman is getting at least a third film. That's probably as far as it'll go. And the Batman, you've got Pattinson, but, like, you know, we don't know what they're going to do with Affleck, if they're going to do anything at all. So, like, again, like, what?
They put out an official chart that looks like a Pixar picture of a Google slide or something. We have it's called Unique and Complementary. That's the title of the chart. This is the slide. On it, we have one. It's like a Venn diagram, but there's no intersection. It's just two bubbles.
It's two.
One side on the left is HBO Max. They wrote male skew, scripted, lean in, appointment viewing, home of quote-unquote fandoms. On the other side is Discovery Plus. Female skew, unscripted, lean back, comfort viewing, home of genre dumps. What the fuck is a genre dumb?
Fuck is this chart?
Let's break this down a second. Male skew versus female skew. First off, sexist. You're saying that women like reality TV shows, men like hard-hitting, dramatic television.
There are so many shows on HBO Max that can be, by this chart's logic, be more female skewed than male skewed. This is a bullshit thing.
Also, appointment viewing versus comfort viewing. As
what
in
does that mean?
It means that you are setting aside time to put on the show and watch it. Appointment viewing versus comfort viewing, which is just sitting on the couch, throwing something on, and enjoying it. You're setting aside time either way.
Discovery Plus, you're a network that has, like, Gator Mountain Park Boys or whatever the fuck. I don't know what you have, but I know that it certainly isn't comfort viewing.
I think they're going for the more, like, reality TV and, like, cooking shows and, like, baking contests and Survivor and, like, all of reality and competition TV, Bachelors, Bachelorette, on Discovery Plus, that kind of stuff. On the other side, we have Euphoria, Titans. We have, like, Game of Thrones, that kind of stuff, on the other side.
But, just, what, like, genre
dumps? It's nonsense,
what
right?
What is that?
It's not, right, it's nonsense, it's all nonsense, correct?
It's complete nonsense. Genre dumps isn't a word.
It isn't a word.
It's never been used. We're not just in the fandom of like a specific thing. We are a fan of the genre as a whole. But again, by this chart's logic, Discovery Plus shouldn't have genres other than reality.
I can't, Josh.
This was very clearly written by an out-of-touch, like, 60-year-old white man that doesn't know what the fuck he's doing, and it's hilarious.
Hold on. I have another chart I want to send you if I can find it, okay?
Oh, goody. I love the... Is this the separation of, like, franchises charts?
I'm trying to find that. Where'd it go? It's fine. This is stupid, right?
It's so stupid. The 90 Day Fiancé Cinematic Universe, or whatever they called it.
Yeah, they franchise.
Thought that it was just one show. Are there more?
Hold on, let me find this chart. Oh my god, I can't find it now.
Like, what these charts show is that the head of the own damn company doesn't understand A, how it works, or B, what people are actually watching or give a shit about.
Did I dream this chart up? Where is it?
The one that says 90 Day Fiancé Universe? Yeah. No, it's very real.
I can't... What do you look up to find it now?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
I know it's real.
Did they delete it? All tweets
it's,
were...
it's a collective fever dream.
On this note of them changing and restructuring everything, they did cancel at least two movies very publicly.
Very big movies.
They've already completed films. They're completed movies. Scoob is having a prequel / sequel thing, which is called Scoob Holiday Haunt, which is an animated film very akin to A Pup Named Scooby-Doo, the TV show, where Scoob and the gang... What?
You were continuing what I was going to say.
Yeah, it's showing them as little kids, like the show Pup Named Scooby-Doo, and it's them learning the meaning of Christmas while solving a mystery. That sounds very peak Scooby-Doo, very fun. One of the directors was on vacation or something, and got the news and was ready to head back into the editing suite when they got the news of this, that it was canceled. It's a finished film.
That is complete bullshit.
On the other side of that, we also got the whole Batgirl movie, which we've been talking on this podcast for months.
We've talked about Batgirl several times.
Many times over. And how Brendan Fraser's going to be in it as Firefly, a really cool villain. We're getting Michael Keaton's Batman in. This is supposed to be the corrected DCEU, where we have Keaton as Batman going forward, and then this will be the new Batgirl stepping up after that point, leaning on the charge. We have J.K. Simmons in this movie as Commissioner Gordon, as her dad in this. Which, shoving a J.K. Simmons movie on its own is already enough cry to be upset. But J.K. Yes. Simmons, Michael Keaton, Leslie Grace's Batgirl, whose passion is, like, unrivaled. If you look at her Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, whatever, she is heartbroken by this. Because the entire cast and crew found out through social media.
The directors were at one of their own weddings when they got the news. This is complete bullshit.
It's a finished film. Apparently the base story, also it said it didn't test well with audiences, but BS, it had the same test score as Black Adam.
And that's a film that's still getting released, so clearly there's something else. You were already going to put it on something that wasn't going to make any money, so technically you wouldn't have lost anything no matter what.
So... We have numerous theories and different reports on the reasoning why they're canceling these things. A big thing is they're trying to cut cost, and they're using these as tax write-downs, not tax write-offs. If that's the case, they can never, ever, ever release these or footage from it.
Legally, they cannot release it in any format. So if that is what they did, this movie will never see the light of day. Only way it could is if someone just steals the film and puts it online.
Infuriating, which then would also erase their tax write-down and cause a huge legal issue if that happened.
Good!
So that's that. There's other theories why, and that one reason is we'll get to in a minute about Ben Affleck.
I remember when it first dropped, like, I was at work when it dropped, and, like, they put a quote that said, like, we want DC to focus on, like, being big theatrical, like, that's where it deserves to be on screen. Then, like, you know, they were asked, like, you know, like, so are you put it in theaters? They said, no. It's just like, what?
Blue Beetle just wrapped as well, on which we talked about last recording. Blue Beetle, I really hope, stays alive. That looks like also a really fun time.
Like, I love the cast. I love the suit. Like, don't cancel it, but also, like, I wouldn't be surprised if they canceled it because, you know, they're a bunch of fuck faces.
And there's a lot of other things that have gotten canceled recently or are up in the air for cancellation from DC.
And a lot of them, surprise, surprise, are not films that star straight white men or shows. Or that have, like, a lot of queer representation or people of color starring in them. I would. If there's something more hidden here, I can't put my finger on it, though.
There's a lot to break down here. Let's just start with Ezra Miller, so it's easy.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Oh, Lord. This is a whole thing.
Ezra Miller!
Again, welcome back to the Ezra Miller section of the podcast. Every time we say we're done with Ezra, they keep coming back.
This is Ezra talk now, y'all. It's like car talk for NPR, but now it's Ezra talk.
Again, Ezra, please come on the podcast. I don't know why you would, but, like,
well, that,
explain
hey,
yourself.
That could go alongside one of their three plans, which we'll get to in a second.
We gotta break this. The whole situation has, there's a couple of different aspects to it.
This is a whole DC kerfuffle segment right now. This is our main topic is DC is in shambles, and they're trying to fix things. Well, we have, like, Aquaman 2. One of the big things in that movie, Amber Heard's in that movie. People are not loving Amber Heard right now. The Flash movie. There's two versions of the Flash in that movie, both played by now criminal Ezra Miller.
There's no, like, running around it. They are a criminal.
And they've now been arrested for a third time.
In a very different state now.
They're traveling across the country with a gun, running from both the KKK and the FBI.
Which is like, what a statement. The Flash actor Ezra Miller on the run from the FBI and KKK. That sounds like something out of like the Blues Brothers.
Three plans are considering right now. The first of which is do a press tour with Ezra Miller. Which is...
have them explain themselves, yeah. Which is disastrous, and I would love to see
it's
it.
Just Ezra talking to people about saying, I'm sorry, it's just Vought and the Deep. That's
it
all
really
it
is.
It's just from the boys, Vought and the Deep.
Nothing good would come out of it. That's why I want that to be the solution they choose.
The three plans, the first plan is to have them do a press tour across the country and just... apologize a lot and explain themselves and try and say this is all blown out of proportion, I guess, and stuff. The second
terrible. I wanted it though.
The second plan. These are all dumb plans, right?
They're all the worst, and I love that these are the plans that they came up with.
Well, hold on, let me just say the third plan is them just scrapping the whole film altogether, just shelving it and say never lose light of day.
Which, again, similar to Batgirl, would just be the fucking worst to everyone that worked on it. Because, like, the mistakes of one person destroying literal, compared to Batgirl, years of their lives, like, is insane.
Yeah, I'm not pro that option for any movie ever. I think one person should never ruin a film for an entire cast and crew. Ever. Oh, we got more news today coming out about DC. Okay, cool. We'll bring it up in the topic in a minute.
Oh, goody.
Ezra Miller, what was the second part, Josh? What was it? I'm trying to find it
this,
again.
the second thing is similar to what they did with West Side Story, which right. is to not have Ezra do press and just to like have very little of it and have them just not address it.
So still have them in trailers and still show the movie how it's going to be, but then don't have Ezra address and just have the entire other cast kind of boost themselves up and say, hey, come see this movie for what we did in the movie. Like, focus on Michael Keaton, focus on Sacha Cali, focus on, you know, all the other aspects in the movie. And that's a better option?
They probably just wouldn't do, like, you know, interviews on, like, the Tonight Show or something, because, like, you know, the host would obviously ask the questions about that. Like, well, with everything that's gone on with Ezra Miller, like, what are your thoughts on that or whatever?
Well, things like that, they actually have a pre-interview where they have to, or they already practice the questions a little bit.
That's true, but also, like, back in, whatever it was, 2017, 2018, back when the accusations against James Franco about being a sexual assaulter and harasser, like, Stephen Colbert asked him on the show about it.
Oh. Didn't know that part.
Yes. But I watched it. I was just like, uncomfortable.
So, Ezra, I say yay to this news piece, because it means actually DC is saying something. They're making a statement.
And they're just like, let's just not say anything and let's hope it goes away.
Ezra feels like a spoiled child trying to act out and see what happens.
I think that's what's happening. Okay, but no, this is the worst thing about this, though, is that a couple of months ago during the summer, when Ezra was still, I don't know if they still are, on the run from the law, they filmed reshoots with them.
Yes.
They filmed reshoots with them, knowing full well that they were a wanted criminal, which I feel like is illegal on several levels, and yet nothing is going to come from it. I'm pissed about the entire situation here.
Also,
it's a big fuck. That's all it is.
It's a big fuck. We might not get any more Titans, Josh.
Look, I'm fine with this.
So news came out that Titans and Doom Patrol are both on the chopping block.
I'm not fine with Doom Patrol on the chopping block, though.
Why are they just anti-Brendan Fraser right now? They're canceled too.
There's no reason to be anti-Brendan Fraser. There's never been a point to be anti-Brendan Fraser.
Which WWE right now seems to be, because they canceled Batgirl, which he's the villain in. They might be canceling Doom Patrol, which he's the voice of one of the main characters in it. So, like,
They haven't canceled it yet.
No.
I pray they don't cancel it. If they cancel Titans, I will be so happy. I will sing a song about it. It's so obvious when actors were clearly like, I want out. Like, with Hawk and Dove, like, I don't know, you know, if they hated it or whatever, but, like, they were clearly like, I want out of this. And, like, they got written out of the show. Like, and sometimes in a very obvious way.
God.
And the other ones are just like, I don't think they have fun with it. It just doesn't seem like anyone has fun with it.
Ready for more confusing things happening?
Always.
Walter Hamada, who is one of DC Films executives, and he worked in DC. He worked on all the new stuff happening from Justice League forward, pretty much. Said he was in the
brink of... Didn't he work on stuff before?
Yes, but as an actual higher up executive, he had more say.
Right.
So DC Films Walter Hamada was on the brink of an exit after Batgirl cancellation. But he said, like, he agreed.
That's what broke you? Not like, you know, all the terrible press that was happening to you with everything with Justice League for several years.
With Ray Fisher calling you out for years. But this is what did it. He agreed to remain in his post at least until October 21st during the release of Black Adam. Remember how we got a sizzle reel this year called the Year of DC? Remember that?
And we've got the Batman, Super Pets, and Black Adam.
It was gonna be that. It was gonna be all those things plus
Aquaman and the Flash.
Right, and that was all gonna happen this year. And that we're getting some of those things.
I just think it's so funny. Just like two projects with Dwayne Johnson, one that's not connected to the universe, and then Shazam might be pushed back.
So when your higher ups, who were accused of being racist for literal years, didn't leave because of that, but they're leaving because of how much you all have fucked up, maybe you say, this is the problem. If the racist comments didn't kick out our higher up, but our mess is, how bad is this?
The insanely fast suicide of HBO and Warner Brothers just like over the weekend was amazing to behold.
It was
I had never seen a company just like try their hardest to murder their own selves.
Yeah, it's crazy. So go on.
It baffles me. Every decision and announcement they made was the absolute worst. I don't know who said this was okay except for the higher ups.
And one reason they might be scrapping all of Batgirl is because it involves Michael Keaton's Batman as the main Batman in it. And because they're rearranging the entire DCEU again.
We've been rearranging it every few years.
Hold on. And because Ben Affleck now is all Keaton returning, it looks like. Ben Affleck has... Keaton did a scene as Batman in Aquaman, in a post-credit scene. They have cut that scene out of Aquaman 2 and replaced it with Ben Affleck coming back. So Ben Affleck looks like he'll be the staple Batman going forward again.
I'm just like, so that might also be why they did reshoots for The Flash to change the ending.
Change the ending to have Ben Affleck be back again.
just like, can we have consistency, please?
Like, I'm glad Ben wants to be back, but then Ben, stop being so wishy-washy and everything.
The spunk is more consistent than this.
They had
to
change the entire plan because Ben left. Of everything. They changed every single part of the plan because Ben left. And I was like, you know, guys, I'll come back after all. After y'all already messing everything up.
Okay, to be fair, the plan started going out the door like right before Justice League came out.
It's still pretty funny.
It's just seeing this, like, every few years, they're just like, oh, we're going to do this, we're going to do this, and we're going to have, we had this whole plan, and then, like, you know, nothing comes from it. Then a few years later, they say the same thing, and again, nothing happens from it. And now here we are, back to square one. 10-year plan, we're going to do all this. I can guarantee you nothing's going to come from it.
But Gotham Knights, the show, is still not canceled.
Oh, goody. My favorite.
Oh, boy.
It's going to be a disaster, and I can't wait for
and
it.
And because DC messed up so much in their universe and Batgirl cancellation, someone asked Kevin Feige, who is a big head honcho at Marvel Studios, what his thoughts were on Batgirl canceling. He said it's very disappointing news. He even sent an email to the two directors saying, we are all thinking about you both. Very proud of you guys and all the amazing work you do. What if we call into the MCU now?
They've worked on Ms. Marvel.
I know, but what if they come back and, like, do more, like, their own movie now?
Good. Bring them and Leslie Grace.
Yes. Bring the whole cast. J.K. Simmons, Brendan Fraser.
Just be the biggest fuck you to Warner Brothers. Cast Leslie Grace as like the lead of a movie or show.
And Brendan Fraser.
And, you know, bring
the
directors back in and just, like, do everything that they did and just make the biggest spectacle of it.
When you have the opposing company publicly say, I'm sorry for you guys, your company.
It's kind You're of a... doing something very wrong.
The Batman 2 does not have a release date, or not, is not confirmed at all. Oh, hold on, there's a spider falling down on me. Let me kill it with a spoon. Hi, Josh.
Did you kill it with a spoon?
I killed it with an ink cartridge.
That's not a spoon.
I lost my spoon. Okay. So the Batman 2, we got more news about this, saying that it has not been greenlit yet when everyone thought it was. So,
which just has me worried now.
It's also confusing because they already have spinoffs planned.
Like, the Penguin show is about to film. Now, granted, there are shows that, you know, like the pilot was filmed and then, like, you know, the show got scrapped. That could very well happen here, and it happens all the time in television. But, like, this has me very confused, because, like, if the Penguin show is fully filmed and releases, and then the Batman sequel is not announced and is instead canceled, will this be the biggest what-the-fuckery?
Josh.
Like, the Batman was so successful on so many different levels. Everyone wants a sequel. This would literally be the most idiotic decision you could be making at this point. But their logic of, like, oh, we're rebranding DC, it would be too confusing for the fans. Again, you're just continuing to say the fans are fucking morons. And that's, again, just shooting yourself in the foot when you've already shot it, like, 30 times.
And they also have a current 10-year plan now. They created one.
Oh, like,
cool.
They've created a plan. They said they have a plan, and then when they're in the boardroom, they're just like, we don't have a fucking plan.
I love how they did the whole sizzle reel as well during an Arrow episode years ago. At the end of an episode of Arrow, they had Kevin Smith come on with Jeff Johns presenting the entire plan. This was in, like, 2015.
Oh, I remember this.
I watched it live. I was so excited. They went through everything. They went through, we have Man of Steel. Then we have BVS. And then at that point, guys, we're going to have a Suicide Squad followed by Justice League Part 1. And then we're going to have Cyborg and Flash and Justice League Part 2 and Wonder Woman, all these films, like, this whole slate, and Green Lantern Corps coming in. And I'm like, oh, boy. Looking back on that, you already had your 10-year plan. And you just abandoned it. All you had to do was keep doing it. Like, literally, just keep doing what you were doing, it would have been fine.
I think the problem was with it was that Snyder was very much, you know, going on his own thing, just doing what he wanted. And like, you watch the Snyder cut, that's very obvious. You could swing it and, like, you know, have done it the same, but like DC obviously was just like, hold on. We don't want to do that. And you know, everything happened from then. They recently said they were planning to do a crisis film like very soon. You're fucking what? A crisis film at this state?
It's just, no, it's a mirror of themselves. They're in crisis, Josh. It's filming themselves. It's called DC's Crisis, about the DC company and their actual crisis.
I just want to know.
It's a Steve Carell The Office style mockumentary about DC and studios.
I would pay so much money to see that. Like,
actually, that already exists. It's called Teen Titans Go to the Movies.
Essentially, yes. Do you see what they renamed the Alfred Pennyworth show to?
Yeah, the origin of Batman's butler.
They literally spelled it out because, again, WB thinks DC fans are morons. They changed Pennyworth, which, you know, if you know the comics, you know Alfred's goddamn last name. But like,
also, if you don't know, if you're a new viewer, Pennyworth can be a cool enough thing on its own.
It's just like, oh, that's different. Oh, it's DC. I wonder what that is. Then you watch it. You're just like, oh, that's even neater. And now it's just like, Pennyworth, the origin of Batman's butler. That is literally what it is called, word for fucking word, and it's insane.
And the last major piece of this DC kerfuffle that I'll mention is they're looking for their Kevin Feige type, which they've been saying for years. They thought about Walter Hamada, they thought about Jeff Johns, they thought about even Zack Snyder.
They're going to pick the worst candidate, and it's just going to make everything worse. Mark my words.
They're looking right now potentially at the boss of the Arrowverse, Greg Berlanti, and to a lesser extent, his partner. But like, Greg Berlanti is a possible candidate for their DC films. And honestly, I'm not mad at it because of one thing. On paper, he really did create a cohesive, interconnected universe of DC properties. That's fine. And like, he wasn't the one like creating, directing all these shows and movies and writing all this stuff. He was just like being the puzzle master to help put these together. That's all you really need is someone who understands that the comics are based on and how to interweave them well together. And he could do that.
You need someone that, A, gives a fuck about the comics and the characters they're making. Even if it's the most ridiculous characters, there needs to be love and attention put into them. That's your first thing. Your second thing, you need to know how making movies works. Getting a businessman that doesn't know how the business works to run your movie business is a terrible decision. And again, time and time again, it has shown it doesn't work. And then thirdly, you just need someone that knows what they're doing, just like at their core, just like how to make things work. And again, so far DC has not done that. But this is also funny because it's been reported that DC has not reached out to him. Berlanti has not stated that he wants to do this. Why is this happening?
Like, if that's what they end up doing, I'm fine with it. I would just prefer to have an accurate Green Arrow, an accurate Flash. Then he made Superman and Lois good. That's fine with
Superman
me.
Superman and Lois is good, but like, he's worked with DC for years now. I feel like at this point, like, he got to do what very few did. He made his own cinematic universe in a very different way and to varying degrees of success. To say you want to do that again, I feel like would be a very big ask.
One of the main architects of the Arrowverse, including Arrow, Flash, Legends of Tomorrow, Supergirl, Superman, Lois, and Batgirl, he also helped with Titans, Doom Patrol, Black Lightning, Stargirl, and animated seed shows like Vixen, Freedom Fighters, The Ray, Deathstroke, Knights and Dragons, and Constantine City of Demons. So he knows these characters enough to be able to help weave things together.
Yeah, it's just a matter of like what DC wants to do. If they want to continue, you know, with it as it is and try to fix it, or they just want to hit the restart button, which we've been saying to hit the restart button for years, but now you want to do it?
I just, please make Green Arrow laughable and fun and silly and goofy. Not a mock version of Batman.
I want consistency. I want people to like these characters. Because, like, DC, you know, unless you're on DC Twitter, film Twitter, whatever, most people are just like, oh, yeah, I like Batman. That's it. But again, Marvel, people know who fucking Groot is. A talking tree. That's an insane thing for most general audiences to know about. DC should have that level of just, like, I know the most random character now because of these movies. And that we're still not to that level yet. And they've been doing this for over a decade now.
The fact that before 2008, most people didn't know that Iron Man's name was Tony Stark.
Like, and now
You could name, most people could point to him and say, yeah, it's probably Iron Man, because they might have just known that in passing. But you, Everyone knows that Batman's Bruce Wayne, Spider-Man's Peter Parker, or Miles Morales. Everyone knows that Captain America is Steve Rogers or Sam Wilson. But, like, people didn't know all that stuff beforehand necessarily. They knew how. They knew the DC stuff. They knew Superman. Like, DC had the easy card. You had the Justice League. You had the heavy hitters of all of comic books. You could do that and swing and a miss. How do you guys swing and a miss so many times over? You had the comic book heavy hitters.
Like, the director of Black Adam even admitted recently that he had never heard of Black Adam before he was given the opportunity to direct. How little people know about DC. I'm not even mad that he doesn't know about the character. I'm mad at the reasons he doesn't know about the character is because Warner Brothers has done such a shit job at letting general audiences know about this insanely huge world of characters and stuff that, again, we don't get to see because they're so bad at doing it. It's so confusing. Every decision that they made during this entire announcement is the worst way to go about it. Like, right now, HBO Max is, you know, probably the best streaming service out there for a variety of reasons as to, like, you know, not just the stuff that they make, but the stuff that they have and just, like, the ease of access of it all. And now they're quickly trying to just murder it for literally no reason.
They're literally considering how they're shutting down completely.
Which, again, business-wise, doesn't make a lick of sense.
John Oliver went off about HBO on his show on HBO Max saying, "I might just cancel his show out of nowhere," and he found out through social media.
And that's also a terrifying thing about this. And I read about this. Like, there's a grace period from when, like, a show or a movie is released on a streaming service for a certain period of time. They can take it off of the service and use it as a tax write-off or something, so that way they can make their money back off of it if it isn't performing well or to their expectations, whatever it is. So, like, Netflix, if they said, like, "Oh, this movie we just put out there, oh, we're just, it's not doing well, we're going to take it off, you're never going to see it again." That can happen now. That can happen now. And, like, service, like, companies are realizing this. Some are being like, "That's fucked up. We're not doing that." And I'm willing to bet Disney's just like, "Wait, we didn't have to release Fox's movies at all?"
I think some of this,
like,
is
it's a terrifying thought to think of.
Yeah,
now.
Yeah, this is going to set a horrible precedent going forward overall.
It's setting a terrible precedent overall. And, like, yes, there's people that work in the industry that are like, "Fuck Warner Brothers, don't want to work with them." And some that are genuinely scared now for whatever their stuff is. Because, like, and again, buy physical media. This is not an indication to you now. Buy physical media because they can just make it disappear forever and you would never see it again.
On the note of DC's confusion, I have Super Weird Storytime, Josh.
It's, oh boy, how
ready
weird.
For it?
Sure.
What do you know about super weird stories?
That they're weird and super, and that I'm weird for not knowing things that are super.
So, Josh, explain what this segment is overall.
I know nothing about comics, and so this man here just yells weird things at me, and I go, "Oh, that certainly was weird."
It's, sure, weirdness! No, basically, it's an interesting way to describe this.
Am I wrong?
It's partially wrong. I'm just yelling at you random stuff. It's weird. anything that relates to comic books or superheroes or the medium of superness at all. Superness? Blind react to different things that happen in comic books or around comic book culture. Let's start with a man named Stan Lee. You know who he is?
I make comics.
Yeah. You know he also made a Justice League?
Like, in Marvel, or, like, his own version of it?
Here's his version of the Justice League.
Like, his, like, what his lineup would be?
No, you'll see.
Oh, no.
Look at this. It's cool. He designed, with Marvel artists, created his version of The Flash, Green Lantern, Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman, Shazam, and Aquaman.
Interesting.
Doesn't it look cool?
I love, the Superman, like, is very different, but I don't hate that.
Look at Batman.
It's just Man-Bat, but more like a demon. I love that.
So the Flash is really cool. It's a woman, first off, and that's always awesome. But she runs, and her hair is like a rainbow. So you'll see... Like,
I remember seeing that. That was cool.
Yeah. Wonder Woman reminds me of Queen Maeve a little bit in like the design.
Uh-huh.
It was cool. Shazam, instead of turning into the word like a guy, this kid turns into a Red Hulk kind of monster.
Aquaman, that's cool.
Aquaman's literally made of water. Which guy's gotta suck a little bit.
So when he goes underwater, how does it work?
And you actually can read the issues of this, Josh. It's called Just Imagine.
Interesting.
And it's Just Imagine if Marvel made the Justice League kind of thing.
It is made for DC. I love that.
It is made for DC Comics. So what if Stan Lee created this team instead of DC did?
Interesting.
It's called Just Imagine Stanley Creating the DC Universe. That's what it's called. Book one. So it's really a fascinating topic. What if Stanley and Steve Ditko and Jack Kirby created DC instead of Marvel? Would you think it'd be interesting to read that?
I think it would be very interesting, and like I would love to see like the reverse of that. Like, you know, some like DC creators, like, you know, what would their like Avengers have been? Like, what would they have designed it to be like?
If Bill Finger and Bob Kane, who created Batman, went ahead and created, say, Spider-Man, how different would that be? If Jerry Siegel and Joel Schuster, who created Superman, created Wolverine, how different would that be? You know, it'd be really fascinating to look at that kind of thing.
I like it that they were like cool with this. It's just like, you know what? That's a fun idea.
Well, I mean, he was published for DC. So
no, I know that, but like someone had to come up with the idea and talk to the other person about it.
Do you want to hear about it a little bit?
I'm curious.
So, like I said, it's a comic line published by DC Comics, written by Stan Lee. Let's start with Batman. The name of Batman in this is Wayne Williams, because of course he had his alliterative style, as you know.
Of course.
Unlike Bruce Wayne, because also Wayne Williams, Bruce Wayne, that's fun. Wayne Williams is an African-American instead of Caucasian. I already love that.
Interesting.
He is in excellent physical condition and has a vast personal fortune, so similar to how it already was, allowing him to access custom equipment, including night vision lenses, a Kevlar costume, sensors to magnify sound, and a wingsuit / hang glider hybrid cape to glide. So similar to Batman already, right?
Mm-hmm.
Wayne Williams' father was a policeman who was killed in an ambush. Wayne is framed for a crime, so he vows revenge on Hans, the gang leader who set him up. In prison, Williams befriends a scientist named Frederick Grant, who teaches him how to develop his mind, as well as sewing and bodybuilding. Teaches him sewing. While incarcerated, Williams learns that his mother has also died, and he blames Hans for her death. After rescuing the warden during a prison riot, he was given a full pardon. That seems like BS. Hold on. that seems wrong. On the outside, Williams is on the run from Hans, so to keep a low profile, he shaves his head. Is this Rick Grayson? No! Williams needs money. No! Which I should talk about. I should do a whole thing about Rick Grayson for you, Josh.
Please do. I only know some of what about him.
Williams needs money. Of course he does. So he becomes a wrestler under the name of Batman, never unmasking in public. In a few short weeks, Batman has become a superstar in wrestling. So kind of like how early Spider-Man was, too. Because Spider-Man first started wrestling before he fought a crime, and has become extremely wealthy now. Nice! Extremely wealthy from wrestling alone. He searches for Grant and entrusts him with his secret identity. Wayne Williams has the money, skill, and strength to fight Hans, but Frederick Grant has a technological know-how. So the two become partners. To keep a low profile, Wayne gives Frederick a mansion. He gives him a mansion. And acts as his bodyguard.
Take his mansion. I got seven more.
And acts as his bodyguard. Batman eventually finds and fights with Hans, who accidentally falls to his death in the conflict. No longer seeking vengeance, Batman begins a mission of justice to fight crime and protect the innocent from villains like Hans. Really fascinating version of Batman from Stan Lee.
I like it. I would love to see this done in some fashion. I don't know, like, as a show or movie, but, like, I think this would be a very fun and cool thing for DC to do. As we stated like, already, like, if they're never going to do DC's this. I think that this would be fascinating to see. I still can't get over this Wonder Woman design. Like, has she ever had a white and gold design before?
Yes, but not like this. This looks really cool, doesn't it?
This is so cool. I love it.
Do you want to hear more about Wonder Woman now?
I'm curious.
Wonder Woman, real name Maria Mendoza. I just pictured from The Good Place, Mendoza. Maria is an activist protesting against the corporate excavation of an ancient Incan holy site near her village. The CEO, Amanda Guitez, has a plan. Gain power from the site and take over the world. Thank you for that plan. When Maria's father is kidnapped by the CEO and taken to the excavation, Maria follows, only to arrive too late to prevent her father's death. A lot of death in Stanley's writings.
He likes death.
Guitez gains demonic powers from artifacts at the site, naturally, and then travels to Los Angeles.
As you do.
Maria finds the staff of Manco Capac. I'm probably not butchering these names. I'm very sorry. It's Incan. Granting her the powers of the Incan sun god and uses them to pursue and defeat him. She then decides to remain in L.A., taking the name Wonder Woman. So kind of there with a little bit like early Thor, where Donald Blake took what was a chip of something and became Thor.
Ah.
Do you know about the origin of Donald Blake Thor, the original Thor in Marvel Comics? He wasn't actually the Norse god Thor at first.
Yeah, when I went to see Love and Thunder at the Alamo, they had a whole thing talking about like different versions of Thor, and that was one of them.
He was just a normal dude who then got the powers of Thor, not actually became Thor. So it's kind of like that with here. That's really cool. I like these stories so far, these ideas.
So, and like this was what, like late 90s, early 2000s?
The exact year is 2001 to 2002.
Oh, wow.
So, not bad. This is actually really creative. I like the idea of this, because Stan was also like retired at this time. So it's fun that he came back to do this.
This shows that, like, you know, even what, late 80s, early 90s, like, he still had the creative juices flowing.
Yeah, late 80s, mid to late 80s. I do like that also, he also came back to do a reality show, which we talked about before as well, about superheroes.
I forgot about that till now.
Want to hear about Superman?
I'm curious. Are the parents still dead?
We'll find out, shall we? Superman, real name Saldin, so instead of Kal-El, it's Saldin. His powers include great strength and immaculate speed. Saldin was the weakest member of the Kryptonian police force. So still Krypton.
Interesting.
Jinx.
And so he was an adult on Krypton.
Yeah. He used a flying harness and managed to capture a dangerous animal. No, no, animal. Criminal in a teleportation lab.
That's how he met Crypto.
However, the criminal sent Saldin and himself on a one-way trip to an insignificant little blue-green planet, Earth. Interesting. So it's like him and Zod if they came there. That's fascinating.
So Krypton is still alive.
Hold on. We don't know yet. The two men arrive separately, both discovering that they have enhanced physical abilities. The criminal sets himself up as the king of a jungle tribe.
And different? Then
Earth is too primitive, his next sentence.
All right.
But it has the potential to develop the technology that Saldin needs to return to his homeworld. So yes, Krypton still exists in this version.
Interesting.
The problem is that there are too many obstacles to the peaceful future necessary for technological advancement. War, crime, poverty, etc. Saldin decides to become a superhero in order to rid the world of these impediments and calls himself Superman. That's so fascinating. So he wants to help the world in good, generous reasons, but also the selfish reason of we need to help humanity progress to peace. That way I can finally leave it here.
So fascinating.
Stan is not terrible with ideas. I'll say that sometimes.
He's had bad ideas, like just like any other writer, but like this is cool. Such an interesting take on it.
Who you want to hear next? Green Lantern or Flash?
Give me the Lantern.
Oh, there's
green.
More. We also get like Robin, Shazam, Aquaman, Catwoman, Sandman, Crisis. Oh,
jeez.
So who'd you say?
Give me Green Man.
Green Lantern? Okay. Real name, Len Lewis, because when we get alliterations, we got to go with those.
This man really loves his alliteration.
You want to know why? Do you know why Stan does that?
I feel like I've heard this explanation. I just don't remember.
He's just forgetful. And if he can remember the letter, he can probably remember one of the names.
That's just funny to me. Because
he can write like how reason J.J. Jameson often called him Peter Parker is because it was literally just he forgot Peter's name for a second sometimes.
But then why did he name Tony Stark Tony Stark? That's not alliteration.
No, but you can't.
Then, like, Pepper Potts, like, you know, that's alliteration.
Yeah,
Happy
Reed,
Hogan.
Reed Richards, Scott Summers, the list goes on. But anyway.
Sue Storm.
Sue Storm. Charles
so he just
Xavier.
He just at random. He's just like, this one I'll make a lyric. This one I don't care about him.
It became the more characters you add, the more you probably have to do. But you can't do it for every single person. So
that's true. It would be weird.
It'd be a lot weirder. So Len Lewis is Green Lantern. A professor is looking for something called the tree, mentioned in Norse legends as Yggdrasil, which is the like the tree of life, which was in the Thor movies. On that, it's called Yggdrasil. And in Christianity, as the tree of knowledge of good and evil, which is the same tree. Did you know that beforehand? The tree of life in Norse mythology is the same tree.
I don't
tree.
Think I did.
Yes, that's just where the apple came from.
Ah.
He finally traces the plant to an area in Africa. But when he finds the tree, agents working for the Reverend Dominic Dark, the leader of the Church of Eternal Empowerment, who are also searching for the tree, shoot him and leave him for dead.
Sounds about right.
Then, the tree shows the professor its history, which includes a race of pre-humans. It then grants him its power in order to serve as a lantern in these dark times. So he becomes a green, like the tree, Green Lantern.
Fascinating.
This is really interesting.
I would prefer that over the Ryan Reynolds movie.
The Flash. Real name, Mary Maxwell. She is the one we saw with cool rainbow hair. Also, guys, seriously, look up Stan Lee Justice League for the picture of the team. It looks really cool.
It's, like, we can't really describe it well. Like, you have to see it, and you'll be like, oh, shit, that's pretty cool.
The Flash was a typical college girl whose father's a scientist.
As one's is.
One's is?
Yes.
A typical college girl whose father's a scientist. Mary's life was very dull and she longs to be a superhero, like in the comic books she reads. She also has a life-threatening disease that slowly drains her energy. Is this A-Train? With his heart condition? One day, enemies from her father's past, who are in part of an organization called Stealth, which stands for a special team of espionage agents licensed to target and hit, so it's just S.H.I.E.L.D., find and kill him, referring to her father, because everyone has to have dead parents.
Dead parents,
Before he dies, though, he injects Mary with the DNA of a hummingbird to save her from her wasting disease.
This All grants right, so we've had, like, pretty interesting ones. So far, I'm just like, okay, what?
This grants her the ability to travel at super speed, and she calls herself the Flash. I mean, how do you do... The Flash's origin's already pretty cool, being struck by lightning and with it falling into chemicals. That's pretty fun already.
But like, a hummingbird?
To stop her disease. Well, I think the setup here is fine. It's the way she gets the powers is not as fun as the other ones.
Don't you think, though, like, you know, like, Spider-Man got bit by a spider, gets powers of spider, Catwoman likes cats, so, like, you know, Catwoman... Gets DNA of a hummingbird to save her life. Oh yeah, I'm the Flash. No. You are the hummingbird. Do you not know comic book logic? Even if you don't fly, you are the hummingbird.
You are the hum.
That would make more sense.
In Stan's version of the Justice League of America or JLA, the members are Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman, Green Lantern, and Flash. Later on, adding in other people as well, like we saw before in the picture. So a man called Reverend Don McDark is trying to summon a being called Crisis to Earth, so that he can take over the planet. Of course. To this end, he creates some henchmen in the form of the Doom Patrol. Different Doom Patrol. Whose members are Blockbuster, Parasite, and Deathstroke.
That's different.
Padark's son, a young boy named Adam Strange, notifies five heroes of Dark's intentions, and they come together. What a mean son. My dad's doing hidings. Let's tell some superheroes. Together, Dark, beaten, kills his son. Oh, okay, never mind. So, Daddy Dark kills Son Dark. Cool?
I just love the phrasing of that.
Daddy Dark, while he's beaten and hurt from these superheroes, kills his son and then flees.
What a father.
Bluffed into doing so by Green Lantern, who is unbeknownst to Dark, too weak to fight because his strength has been drained by the parasite. Strange has powers too and promises the heroes that he will return in some form. He then dies and the heroes officially incorporate as the Justice League. So a pretty standard first Justice League meetup story. But that's fine. It's not the cool thing is all the new versions of the characters and stuff.
You've described this to me, I'm surprised DC didn't, like, you know, keep going forward with this as, like, an Elseworld story. Like, obviously, like, Stan Lee didn't have to, you know, stay involved for every issue, but, like, this is interesting. I would like this.
Stan Lee notoriously did not like sidekicks.
He did not. That's why Spider-Man exists.
That's why Spider-Man exists. That's why he never wanted to touch the character of Bucky Barnes. He thought the idea of sidekicks were stupid. So let's hear about his version of Robin.
Oh boy.
Robin
is dead.
Robin is an embittered teenager who works for the major villain of Lee's Just Imagine Universe. He works for Dominic Dark. Dark sends Robin out on various assignments, all the while promising him something in return. The book opens with Robin attempting his current assignment to kill Lee's version of Batman. So you can see how much he hates sidekicks. He says, "The heroes don't get a sidekick, we'll give them to a villain."
The sidekick will instead try to murder them.
Yes. So Shazam, he reimagines Captain Marvel / Shazam by having the hero be a mild-mannered Interpol agent named Robert Rogers, teamed with the beautiful and much tougher fellow agent Carla Norrell. The two of them are in India, searching for the megalomaniacal master criminal Gunga Khan. It's in a backup story plotted by Michael Uslan, scripted by Lee Uslan, an orphaned American boy in India at the same time as the adventures of Shazam. Heroically saves a village from starvation with the help of a local boy named Zubin Novotny. The boy's name is Billy Marvel, and he and Zubin are made honorary captains in the U.S. Peace Corps by an ambassador named Batson, thus making the boy Captain Marvel. That doesn't touch on the powers that I'm curious about.
Wait, which of the children gets the powers?
I don't understand.
Do they both get it?
I don't know.
It's... The idea, without thinking too much, like, sounds neat. Of, like, you know, because at first I thought it was, you know, the Interpol agent, but it sounds like it's the children still? Maybe?
The hero is a mild-mannered Interpol agent, but the team of Shazam, I think, is the kids. I don't know. Look, man, I'm going off of Wikipedia. This is a Wikipedia article. I'm trying my best here. There's not a lot of... Without you actually reading all 13 issues or something like that, I can't just... Which I can't find, yeah. Without, like, ethically. But this is fascinating, right?
It indeed is.
Aquaman is, of course, a marine biologist.
As one is.
Named Raymond Raymond.
Hold on. Shazam has two R names. You can't do it twice.
Look. Aquaman is Raymond Raymond. Is experimenting with dolphin DNA to see if humans can live underwater.
Ah, so this is the deep.
And decides to use himself as a test subject. But when he swims through a glowing patch of seawater, he can now transform into a being of living water. So he's Hydro Man. This version is co-created by Scott McDaniel and is based on Mort Weisinger, Paul Noir's character. So, cool.
All right.
It's Hydro Man.
Again, if he's in the water, does he just become the ocean?
I hope so.
I mean, that'd be vastly more interesting.
Hydro Man was also a marine biologist, if I'm correct. So
I don't remember much about Hydro Man, but, like, Hydro Man makes a bit more sense than this does.
Catwoman, supermodel Joni Jordan, and her cat, Ebony, are struck by strange green lightning, creating a link between them and giving Jordan cat-like abilities. This is weird in the Batman Returns.
It's about on the same level of weirdness as the Halle Berry Catwoman movie, where the cat, that? Like, you know, breathes into her and brings her back to life or whatever that was.
Hold on, her abilities include super agility, heightened senses, and razor-sharp claws. This version, co-created by Chris Bachalo, and is based on the Bob Kane Bill-Finger character. Okay. I feel like Catwoman probably could have said the same, but he probably had to change every character, that's why.
I feel like the DC took a couple of notes from this series, because, like, you know, the whole Man of Steel thing of him and, like, the Zod-type character being on Earth, and then with Catwoman, with her having her, like, actual powers, like... The 2004 Halle Berry movie borrowed that, which came out a few years after this. Like, it's a big coincidence. I wouldn't be surprised.
And there are a few more small things. A character called Sandman, which is like an alien type thing, I think. Really fascinating stuff. Would you enjoy watching the Just Imagine universe of this on
screen? I think it would be very interesting to see as, like, its own, like, little thing. Just to see, like, you know, whether it be live action or anime, I think it would be neat to see it.
I think if you animated this movie in the style of Invincible, it would work really well.
Yeah.
But that's our podcast, Josh, this episode.
Crazy.
So what can people find you online?
Oh god, I'm in places. The grams of Insta, Jan_Rudy16, Twitter, Jan_Rudy28, TikTok, Rudy_thefilmnerd, at YouTube at Josh Rudolph.
And you're posting more reviews again on there.
I am. I literally have a schedule made. I'm making a schedule to watch movies. It's weird. I'm trying to do reviewing a movie every day again, but this time with an actual schedule as to when to do things and when to watch things.
So in summary, DC is a mess right now.
Oh, complete. It's a fucking shit show.
Oh!
You keep saying my name.
We have a guest coming next episode talking about The Boys, season three? Three? All The Boys, probably. But yay!
Indeed.
Ready to talk about The Boys soon?
Of course.
A-Train, man. Episode 1. Season 1. Oof. Season 3, hold on. Season 3, episode 1. There's a shot of a penis I didn't enjoy. Did not like how that was done. That's not at all a spoiler, don't worry. There's a lot of stuff in that show. It's not a spoiler.
I love A-Train. I think it was, like, episode 2, when he's visiting the kid in the hospital, and the Facebook live feed is just turning from, like, so much love just to hate. It's so funny.
Watching the viewers
drop. It's so awkward.
It's
so awkward.
When I first watched it, I didn't catch that at first. I wanted translucent. Also, on the part of the A-Train, that's not his fault. They should have prepared him better.
Yeah, but I mean, as we've seen the show, Vought's just the worst at doing anything.
The fact that real-life Lex Luthor is the one making shows about bad Supermen with Homelander, with Invincible, with, you know, I'm talking about Jeff Bezos here.
I don't think he knows about these shows. He's got so much money, he doesn't care. He definitely doesn't watch these shows, which I think is even funnier.
It's just funny when you think about the fact that we have a real Lex Luthor in the world, and his company is making shows involving evil Supermen. What agenda are you pushing?
A confusing one.
So you can find me online at Twitter, TheTheaterNerd, or on Instagram and TikTok at That Nerd in Theater. I also, like I said before, I just finished shooting we wrapped a production on a short film that Josh was actually on the crew for. Josh, how do you think it went overall production-wise? Like, yay or nay, overall good time or bad time or whatever?
I give it a yay, because I didn't have to do as much work as I thought I would. And that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing.
As in, things were already looking good and you didn't need to help out as much. Not that you were being lazy.
Yeah.
But you also had a fun time still, right?
Yeah.
The second day you had more to do.
I did. I turned lights on.
And off.
Yeah.
And moved things around.
Crazy.
Yeah, it was a good time. You can find me online. And please stay tuned for my next short film. This one will come out. It's called Fragile Hall. Stay tuned for probably September, October release. It'll be on YouTube at Liquid Canvas Productions. You can find that there. You also can watch my last short film I put out there called Co-op, which Josh was also on crew for in the same position, both being a gaffer.
I like lights.
On that note, we'll see you later for next episode about The Boys. Oh, Josh. I like what you're about, kid. You're pretty fun.
I like lights.
Stop recording.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.